Tonight we're cranking, all right? Tonight we're talking about, we started the chapter last week on spiritual warfare. And last week we covered who is God and who are angels. Tonight we're going to start covering who is Satan and who are demons, so that you have a clear understanding of who they are, what they can do, what they can accomplish. The problem is the body of Christ is quite ignorant. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that literally they don't understand. And so what's happened is we're giving the devil far more credit than he deserves. And we want to take back what the devil's stolen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen? So Satan, he has a goal. And what he does is he always tries to counterfeit what God does. So Satan is not a creator. Everybody say that. Satan cannot create. Very important for you to understand, because a lot of people have a misconception that Satan is extremely, extremely powerful. And I want you to know, and when we're done tonight, you're going to see that he is not all powerful, but that Satan literally can only counterfeit, and or what he strives to do is try to play the mind game more than anything else. So Satan is not all-powerful. He only strives to counterfeit what God the Father does. Now, who is he? Well, there are three archangels. Everybody say archangels, that were created by God. And I want you to hear that. Created by God. So three angels that were created by God, they're called archangels. Number one, his name is Michael. Michael is not a fallen angel. Michael, the Bible says, is the warring angel. So the word Michael, and this is why you should never name your child Michael, it means like unto God. That means all hell is breaking loose. So, like unto God. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9 says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, he's talking about Lucifer, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So a great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The second archangel is called Gabriel. He, too, is not a fallen angel. Gabriel is the messenger angel. It means strong man of God, and God is my strength. So we see that that the messenger angel was working when we were dealing with Daniel. He was bringing information down from God to Daniel in Daniel chapter 8 and chapter 9. We also see that Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 through 20, announced the birth of Jesus. So the Gabriel is the messenger angel. Michael is the warring angel. There was one more archangel, and his name was Lucifer. Now, Lucifer was the angel over worship. So his name now is Satan, but his actual name is Lucifer. And that he had a tremendous job, and his job was to bring worship. In fact, when we start studying him a little bit, what you're going to find was he didn't play worship, he was worship. When you study how God created this angel, literally when he moved, he created worship. Very powerful. Ezekiel chapter 28, 13 through 16 says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So we have Michael, the warring angel, is not fallen. We have Gabriel, the messenger angel, was not fallen. But we have Lucifer, the son of the morning, he was the archangel over all worship, has fallen. And this is where we find that's where Satan has come from. He was a created being. Say, everybody say that with me. Satan was created. He is not equal with God. Listen, it's important. The creation is never equal with the creator. Now remember, in the old days, it was taught that there was a big war in heaven between Lucifer and God, and God and Lucifer fighting, and it's this big battle. I'm sorry, that's wrong. That's wrong. Satan has never been a match for God. There is no competition. There is no battle. In fact, Once Jesus Christ came, we're going to see that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus made an open show of Lucifer, which means he embarrassed him in the spirit realm. And we know, according to Revelation chapter 1, that he took away the keys of death and hell. So therefore, Lucifer is not just, he's not just a fallen angel. He's not just the one that no longer has authority, but even with us, he has no authority over us, for Jesus said in the book of Luke, I give you all authority over the power of the devil. So we've given Satan way too much credit. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And we allow him to take posture and position in our lives that he has no place for. When Satan decided, he made a decision, he said, and this is where the fall came, he made a decision that I am going to be like God. I'm going to raise myself up above God. I want to show you the very origination of sin is the sin of pride. Pride always generates rebellion. That's why you'll always find in the book of Samuel it said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. One of the greatest things you've always got to keep out of your life is pride and rebellion. They're two evil, evil things because the originator was Lucifer. In fact, somebody that's staying in rebellion is a Luciferian more than they're a Christ. It means who you're worshiping and who you're acting like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you're seeing somebody in rebellion, you're seeing their Father. Rebellion is something that you want to keep out of your life because it's the very nature of Satan. We see this in Ezekiel chapter 28, 15 through 17. You are perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with the violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sakes of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze on you. So Lucifer had this thing. You know, he was a created creature, a created angel. He was the worshiping angel. He moved in created worship, and he had something stir up in his heart. He said, I am just as good as God is, and I'm going to raise myself up above the very throne of God. He wanted the worship that he was supposed to give. This is what happens in many people's lives. They might not outwardly be worshiping Lucifer, but they are absolutely worshiping themselves, placing themselves as God above God. That, too, again, is the base of rebellion and pride. And that's why God will not have that in his presence. Can I hear an amen? Isaiah chapter 14, another description of his fall is 12 through, it's let me see, 14, 12 through 15. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. You are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. You are cut down from the ground. You weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation in the furthest sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Luke chapter 10, verses 18 through 20 says this, And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. But shall all, that wasn't a shout. I said, shout all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, it's important, many people, when we start talking about Lucifer, because they don't understand him being a created creature, they actually see him as God. So remember, God is omniscient. What's that mean? Omniscient. It means all-knowing. God is omnipotent. It means God is all-powerful. We can go through all the omnis, and God is all. He is all in all. But Satan is not. I want you to see these things. Satan is not all-knowing. This is really important when you start understanding Lucifer. Why is that? Because Satan can't read your mind. You ever play cards with somebody and you tell them what your cards are? You know, you got a pot in the middle. You know, you're playing for, let's just say, $50. And you go, hey, by the way, my cards are these. How many of you know you're going to lose? You haven't done that, have you? Good. Your son has. Did he lose? Yes, he did. You want to know why you're going to lose? Because you told your opponent your cards. Satan is not all-knowing. Some of you tell him far more than he needs to know. Some of them let you let him know your problems. He didn't know until you told him. Now he can play with them. If I feel sick in the morning, I don't get up and go, I feel like crap. You want to know why? Well, now I've just given him the freedom to do whatever he wants. He didn't even know I felt bad. I would rather agree with the word than proclaim my senses. Because your senses make no sense when it comes to the word. So you're either agreeing with the word or you're agreeing with your senses. If you're agreeing with your senses and you make your proclamation, then Lucifer, who only knows what you tell him, you just said, here's my cards. Help me feel worse. So Satan is not all-knowing. He doesn't know when you have money problems unless you tell him. Amen. He doesn't know you're depressed unless you tell him. Amen. He doesn't know anything but what you share with him. So stop talking so much. Amen. Amen. If you want to talk, talk the word. He hates the word. He'll leave you alone. Amen. Satan is not all powerful. We've made him, and he is. He is supernatural, but he is supernaturally defeated by you and I, the sons and daughters of God. We just read the verse in Luke chapter 10. He says, I give you all authority over the power of the devil. How much is all? So if Satan, and this is why people do, they make him so much larger than he actually is. They make him so much more powerful than he actually is. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He isn't all-knowing. He doesn't know what you're feeling. He isn't all-knowing until you tell him. And the most powerful part is he's not all-powerful. He can't do everything. So stop giving him so much credit. And not only that, you're more powerful than he is. Wish you'd actually believe that. You are more powerful than Lucifer. I remember in the old days, you know, it says in the book of Jude that Michael would not make accusation against Lucifer. So what happened is the church took that and said, yeah, you know, you shouldn't say anything against Satan. He's a worthy opponent. No, I want you to realize Michael is an angel too. He doesn't have the blood of Jesus. He doesn't have the power of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't given all authority over the power of the devil. But you and I, as the sons and daughters of God, we have all authority, all power over Lucifer himself. Satan is subject to you. I'm not talking just his angels. I'm talking Lucifer is subject to you in the name of Jesus. When you understand that, you're no longer, well, the devil's beating me up. What are you talking about, the devil's beating you up? God's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. How can the devil, who's absolutely been stripped and defeated according to the blood and the power of Christ, and Jesus lives inside of you, how is it possible that the devil's whooping on you? Come on now. How old is he? No, how... How old is he? He's 3 years old. What's his name? Jackson. If I walked up to Jackson and started punching Jackson in the head, what would your thoughts be? Oh, thank you. You'd be saying, that's just horrible. If I was an opponent with Jackson, there is no way that you would think that that is a worthy opponent. Amen. You want to know why? Because he's much smaller. He's much weaker. He doesn't have the capabilities of a fat man at 53 years old. A lot younger. So here we are. Why do we give Satan all this credit when he's already defeated? Jesus already embarrassed him in the spirit realm. Jesus has given us all authority. Why do we give him so much power? Why do we give him so much precedent? See, this is the problem in the body of Christ. The ignorance about who Satan is has brought us to a position to where we think he's something that he's absolutely not. And that's what he loves to do. He wants to try to convince you that he is a worthy opponent, that he and through counterfeit, that he is all-powerful, and he is not. Satan can only be at one place at one time. One place at one time. God is omnipresent, which means God can be everywhere at one time. Satan can be in one place at one time. I had this person walk up to me one time and said, Satan has been beating me up. Oh, my goodness. The devil showed up and he just whooped on me. And I looked at him and I said, boy, you're important. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, listen now. You know, you've been saved about a week and a half, and the devil don't know who you are. He don't care who you are. You're not dangerous to him. He's rather working with a president or working against like Reinhard Bonnke or somebody else who's making a dent in his kingdom. He's not coming around to your house and playing with you in your bedroom. Satan can be at one place at one time. Majority of us will never encounter Satan. Majority of us will never have a war against Satan. We'll be playing with whom we're going to talk about, the demons. But just like Lucifer is absolutely defeated, every demon in hell is absolutely defeated. I had a worship leader all the time. He used to stand up and go, well, the devil, he has just beat me up. Finally, I just said, will you shut up and sit down? Because I'm so sick and tired of hearing the defeated attitude. He's defeated, you're not. Satan is defeated, you're not. Satan is defeated and you're not. No. Satan is absolutely 100% defeated and you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. All authority has been given to you over Satan. There's no other name under heaven. Come on now, Jesus gave you a name that is so powerful that at the name of Jesus, every demon in hell cringes when you speak the name of Jesus. Good day, can I help you? I did, I scared him. No. So, Satan is not what? He's not all-knowing. Satan is not all-powerful. Satan can only be at one place at one time. And Satan is always changing, always lying, always deceiving. He is never faithful to his followers. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are the father of the devil. How would you like Jesus to say that to you? You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And I want you to hear that. Satan will always lie to you. You remember there was a person that said, there was an evangelist who was really into the deliverance ministry, and I absolutely believe in the deliverance ministry. And he would say, how many are there of you? And the demon would manifest and speak. How do you know that that devil's not lying to you? There's one of us, and there's 500. Well, there's 500 of us, and there's a half a midget one. You know what I mean? He's just standing there, he's hiding behind something. You can't trust what a devil says. You can't trust what the devil says. Now, you see, in the law of the firsts, which is a principle that is found whenever you see a first, there's always a law that goes with it. We talk about the law of the first spoken words that are recorded in the scripture. Now, Satan, when we see the law of the first in the book of Genesis, what was Satan's desire? It was to bring in question the word of God. Remember, he went to Eve and he said, Eve, you know, what's going on here? Why don't you just taste of that fruit? Chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, hasn't God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree of the garden, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you shall eat it, your eyes will be open, and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. Did he not just tell her what he tried to do? The way the devil works with lies is he always gives you a part of the truth with the lie. You won't swallow a whole lie, but you'll swallow part of a truth with a lie. That's why the word of God is so clear and says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There is a need to know the word. Why is that? Because the enemy will take parts of the word, like he did in the book of Luke chapter 4 when he tried to tempt Jesus Christ in three different ways, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He used scripture to try to get Jesus to throw himself off a cliff, try to get Jesus to turn bread a stone into bread. He got Jesus and tempted Christ with half-truths. You must know the word. Satan is always striving to deceive. Satan is always striving to lie. Satan is always trying to twist God's word. That's why, man, you can be born again, set free in the power of God, and then all of a sudden you're struggling with something, and the devil starts, the enemy, whether it be a demon or whatever, starts whispering in your ear, well, you know, God's not listening to you. Well, you know, God's not going to do that for you. Well, you know, God won't do that for you. Well, you know, you remember who you were. Well, you know, and all of a sudden he starts speaking lies against the word of God about who you are. That's his job. You got to understand that he's good at his job. He's been working with mankind for a long time. The problem that Eve made was that she talked to the devil. She opened a dialogue with the devil. And then she agreed with the devil. That's why she fell. Every one of us, we give way too much to the enemy when we start agreeing with him instead of agreeing with the word. The moment you start agreeing with the enemy, no matter even if it makes sense over the word of God, you're positioning yourself like Eve did. And it will cause a fall in your life. It will cause loss in your life. What did Eve lose? The greatest thing was the presence of God. The second thing, she got a hold of a good curse that wasn't good. And then she was expelled with Adam from the Garden of Eden. Everything that God's plan was then abolished and destroyed because she created a dialogue with the devil and she allowed the liar, the deceiver, to whisper in her ear and she gave him voice and therefore she said, it doesn't matter what God says, it matters what the devil said, it matters what the lie was, I'll believe the lie over the truth. You got to guard yourself. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Satan will never tell you the truth. He'll only tell you what you want to hear to get you to a place where you'll surrender. Satan has a specific passion. We know that according to John 10:10, the thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan hates you. Now, what's interesting is the Bible says he will come as an angel of light. What does that mean? That means when he's going to try to deceive you, he's not running around in his little red suit with a pitchfork. He's going to come and allure you away with something that you like. He'll tell you what you want to hear to sucker you in to walk away from God or to not serve God. He's a wise old fox. And there's a need to pay attention because the enemy is no fool. But his specific purpose is absolutely clear. It is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. And it's not always in your physical body. Remember, the enemy is not after your health. The enemy is not after your wealth. The enemy is not after anything but your faith. Because if Satan can steal your faith, all that's his. That's why it's called fight the good warfare, fight the good fight of faith. After you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. Faith is what the enemy's after. If he can steal your faith, then you're going to walk away from God. He'll kill you and destroy you. His whole purpose is he hates you. He'll do anything, he'll lie to you any way that he can to get you into a place where you will actually believe that he cares about you, that he'll follow you, and that he'll treat you good. Now listen, he'll treat you good for a while. But remember, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. It doesn't matter. He might placate you. He might pacify you. He might give you what you want initially. But someday you got to pay that piper. And he is a hard taskmaster. He doesn't take little. He takes it all. He doesn't care for your blessing. He only wants you to die. He only wants you to serve with him in all of eternity, cast into the lake of fire. His goal is to separate you from God. He hates you so much because you've been created in the very image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He does not want you to serve the Lord. That's why the Bible says that the devil has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. For those that are not saved, there is an actual demonic spirit that is sitting on them and blinding their spiritual minds. It's not a figurative spirit. It is an actual demonic spirit who will blind the mind of the unbeliever. And until you and I, remember, Jesus never told us to pray for the sinners to be saved. We've been called to do what? We've been called, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. So many of us are sitting back and going, oh, God, will you please save my family? And God said, I already want to save your family. Come on now, do your job. Bind the devil who's blinding the mind of the unbeliever and loose the Holy Ghost to set him free. There's a need to understand the power of being a believer. Satan will always strive to steal what Jesus has paid for on the cross. I want to remind you that the cross covered certain things. Number one, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the principle of the blood and the body. Genesis chapter 12. You cannot separate the blood and the body. What does the blood represent? Forgiveness. Come on now, say it with me. The blood represents? Come on now. The blood represents? The body represents healing. So the blood represents forgiveness and the body represents healing. There are two things you cannot separate in the scripture. You will never be able to separate the blood and the body. If it's God's will to save always, then it's always God's will to heal. If the blood and the body weren't together, then you could say sometimes it's God's will to save and sometimes it's God's will to heal. But the blood and the body are always together. We see it in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15. We see it in Psalms 103, Psalms 105. We see it in Psalms 107. We see it in Isaiah chapter 53. We see it in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We see it in 1 John chapter 2. I'll have to find that one. It's in there. The blood and the body, the blood and the body. The blood represents what? Come on, the blood represents what? The blood represents what? And the body represents healing. So it's God's will that all should be saved. God, the word of God declares in Peter, I will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's desire that everybody be washed in the blood of Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's no other name under heaven to dwell, you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:3, unless man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We see it in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So the blood of Jesus is for the forgiveness of sins, and it's always God's will to forgive. The devil does not want you to grab a hold of the blood. The devil wants you to feel condemned. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Isn't it an awesome thing to know that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Isn't it awesome to know that the blood washes away your sin, throws it as far as the east is to the west and remembers it no more? Don't you love the blood? Shout, I love the blood! The devil hates the blood. He hates the blood. The devil wants to steal the blood. He wants to steal your forgiveness. He wants to steal your walk with God. And that's what he did with Adam and Eve. Remember, the very first shedding of blood was where? It was to cover Adam and Eve. God killed an animal to clothe them because they found themselves in shame. I want you to know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But God sent his only son. And the blood has been shed once and for all. And the devil doesn't want you to have the blood. Remember, the greatest treasure, the greatest trophy for Lucifer is to acquire one who was once walking with God, clothed in the blood of Jesus, now to be his again. So you got to make sure you guard your salvation. Can I hear an amen? The devil's after to steal it. Number two, your health. It is always God's will to heal. Always God's will to heal. Oh, well, you know, the Lord put this thing on me to teach me a spiritual lesson. Really, if that's true, then why'd you go to the doctor? If that's true, then every doctor is demonic. Every nurse is working for Satan. Isn't that stupid? If you believe that it's God's will for you to be sick, then you cannot go to a doctor. Because if God put it on you, how evil it would be for you to try to take off God's blessing. What's the job of a doctor? To get you healthy. How evil that a doctor would work against God to try to make you healthy. Come on now, how stupid. We've created such foolish things, and the devil has allowed the church. In fact, I'll be honest with you, in this region, in this area, we're the only ones that are teaching it's always God's will to be healed. Why am I teaching it's always God's will to be healed? I read it in the book. Oh, not that book. I read it in this book. Does that feel better? Jesus. I read it in the book. You can't separate the blood and the body. The church has surrendered to Lucifer our healing, our miracle, the ability to be set free by the power of Jesus' name. We have more faith in doctors and them writing our scripts than we do in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not against doctors. I go to doctors. I went to my doctor, and the doctor, I walked into the office, and their nurse said he's handed out earplugs because I hadn't been there in 2.5 years. He came in there and says, what are you doing? You're irresponsible. You're a public figure. You're important to our community, and you're not taking care of yourself. He said, I'm going to put you through every test that there is. I'm testing everything. He ordered ultrasound. He ordered all the blood tests. He ordered a stress test. The insurance wouldn't do it, so, hey, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to do a colonoscopy. I said, no, you're not. I said, I'll take the box. You know, there's a box now, just to let you know. You can do a box test. They send it to your house, and it's 92% see, thank you. I do that one. Jesus, I ain't. Whoa, come on now. Ah, my God. I believe in doctors. But the point is this, is that if we put more faith in the doctor than we do in the great physician, then our faith is in people that are trying to figure it out. I want to remind you that all doctors are practicing. All doctors are men or women. I meant men as in humanity. You know, and this is a problem. We put so much faith in humanity, and I believe in doctors. Man, I watched a doctor one time when I was younger, and we'll cover this when we get into the teaching on healing. But I watched a doctor. I love watching those medical programs. I'm over too much. Here we go. Is this my spot? There it is. Okay. Sorry. If I go off screen, make sure you keep warning me. This guy was a farmer. He was young, and at like 8 years old, he got his arm caught in some machinery, and his arm was frozen. It wouldn't move. It was the elbow was destroyed. And they went in. They cut it here, and they cut it there. They put a Godiva's elbow in there. Did I say that right? Yeah? Godiva? Godiva, thank you. One of those guys. They put it in there, fused it all together, and it worked. How could you not believe in a doctor? But remember, doctors are still practicing. There are over 90,000 people killed a year by doctors' accidents. That's double the amount that died in Vietnam. Doctors aren't evil, but they're still practicing. They're people. And we put so much faith in a doctor. You know why they see so many more miracles overseas? That's all they got. They don't have the doctors. Either God's going to heal them or they're going to die. You know, we've got to come to a place where we've got to realize the devil's after your healing. The devil's after your health. That sickness can come from a demonic spirit. We'll get into those spirits in a few minutes. Here we go. The next thing the devil wants to steal is your wealth. What Jesus paid for. Paid for your salvation, paid for your healing, and paid for your prosperity. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Satan has titles, and in the titles, it describes how he acts. Ready? He is the God, the little g, of this world. That's the world system. You know, that's why everybody says, well, you know, the world, there's an actual belief system. It's called amillennialism. It always makes me chuckle. It says the world is getting better and better and better, and Jesus is coming back to a perfect world. I find a flaw in that one. Just a bit. But we have a little g. The devil is the god of this world, which means he's the god of the world system. Satan is not the god of this physical world. The earth is God's footstool. And God gave the earth to man. That's the word says. So here we are. The world is ours. But the world system is Lucifer. That is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible also says that he is the prince of the air, of the earth and the air. It says this, John 12, verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now remember, when Satan was cast out of heaven, he was cast down to the earth. John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. John 16:11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Ephesians 2:2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Satan has the right to kill anybody who's not a believer. It's really interesting how unbelievers believe that God hears their prayers. You do know that's not true, right? Only a son and daughter have the right to be heard in heaven. The Bible says, and you can go play with it after, go look it up in the scripture, God turns his face away from iniquity. If you're not washed in the blood of Jesus, you have no voice in heaven. I know, that messes with a lot of religion. But the fact is, if you're not blood washed, you have no right to come before the throne of God boldly. You have no position in the heavens. You are not seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are a child of disobedience. Am I doing better? You're a child of disobedience. If you're a child of disobedience, it means that you are not a child of God. God does not have to hear your prayers. But the fact is that because your father is the devil, your father has a right to kill you anytime he wants. That messes with people's religion too. I call every unbeliever dog food. What does that mean? He has a right to take you out. Now, most people he won't take out because he knows he's got them. There's no need to bother with them. But there are a lot of people who die way before their time because the enemy wants to make sure that he has gotten them out of the way. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death." That is the devil. He does not have the power over a believer because our Messiah took away the keys of death and hell and the grave. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. "I am him who lives and am dead, and behold, I am forevermore." Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. I love what it says in Corinthians chapter 15. "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" As a believer, we're not afraid of death. The devil can't kill us. He doesn't have authority to kill us unless we give him that authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says there are many people that have died before their time because they've not discerned the Lord's body. What does discern mean? It means understand. What do you mean discern the Lord's body? What does the body represent? Healing. Many people die of sickness, I'm talking Christians, die of sickness before their time because they've not discerned the Lord's body. Because they have not discerned the Lord's body, they have surrendered their covenant right, and therefore the devil will take them out. The enemy wants to kill you, but he can't kill you if you know your covenant rights. Amen or oh my. Bible says Satan is our adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith." I love this. The verse before that says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The word "flee" is a word picture of a dog sticking his tail between his legs and running away. He is an adversary, but he is a toothless adversary. He is a defeated adversary. He is whooped if you know who you are. You stand in the authority of Jesus' name. Even Lucifer himself is subject to you. Amen. Satan is the accuser of the saints. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. "Then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." The blood, hallelujah. "And the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death." He accuses us. God looked at them. But God says, "I see him, but I see the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." I know I'm not a singer, but that sounded fun to me. Satan is the angel of light. He comes in looking pretty, but I want you to realize that when he sheds himself, he's always ugly. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light." He is a deceiver. He wants you to agree with him. He wants you to submit to him. And he'll do whatever he has to do, even make himself look real good. Satan has organized his demonic army. This is important because we're going to start getting into demons, who they are. Wow, time goes by quickly, doesn't it? You know what I might do next week? I might wait to do the occult. Is that all right? I'll do the occult next week. I'll show you some insignias and things in that manner next week. Okay, so Satan has an organized army. Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 13. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." So Satan has a domain. He has his kingdom. And in his kingdom, he has demonic spirits. Those demonic spirits are very organized. Again, I encourage you to read, even if it's the first chapter, that book. Now, someone help me remember the name of that book again. The Vision, very good, by Rick Joyner. I would strongly encourage you to get that book. It's called The Vision by Rick Joyner. Listen, just read the first chapter. Pass off, get the first chapter and just pass it around the class. It's enough to move every hair on the top of your head, if you have any. If not, it might even grow. You just never know. Satan is not playing tennis. This is for keeps. So he plays hardball. Now, like I said, Satan can only be at one place at one time. But he has an extremely organized army called demonic spirits. Now, these demonic spirits have different authorities and different powers. You have principalities. The Greek means chief spirits. These are spirits that are over areas of places, whether it be the United States or whether it be a governmental process. They're chiefs over different regions. There are demonic spirits called magistrates that are the next step below. They'll handle smaller realms. Then you have rulers of darkness. That's world rulers. There are demonic spirits that cover masses. They're of great authority. The Bible says the next one is spiritual wickedness. These are demonic spirits that plot against you and I as believers, or plot to hurt, steal, kill, and destroy people. There are actually, you'll find in the book of Revelation, actually demonic spirits that when they chose to follow Lucifer out of heaven, we're going to see that verse in a little bit, there were some that were so evil, they've actually been locked in the abyss. They have never been out of the abyss, and they will be released only during the Great Tribulation period. They're that evil that they'll only be released in that period of time. The verse I was talking about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus absolutely won every demon spirit, which means if you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, how many demonic spirits have you already overcome? All of them. The devil is under your feet. Can I hear an amen? Whoa, those are nice feet. Glory to Jesus. Who are demons? Demons are created, they are angels, and they chose to follow Satan. Now, this we do know, and that all demonic spirits, or all angels, had one shot choice. We don't know why, we don't understand the fullness of it, but all angels had one chance, one choice, not two. How many of you have ever sinned once? How many of you have ever sinned once? If not, you just did. How many of you have ever sinned twice? Right. How many of you asked Jesus to forgive you more than once? How many of you really needed that forgiveness more than once? Amen. I want you to know that you and I, those created in the image of God, thank the Lord for the opportunity time and time again to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. But demonic spirits only had one shot, one chance. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 says this, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. So when Satan, according to Isaiah chapter 14, said, I will raise myself up against God, I will raise my throne above God, God said, I doubt it, cast him down, and one third of the angels went with him. That's where the demons came from. Some people say, well, there are poltergeists all over the place. There are people caught in between. No, sorry. Nobody's caught in between. Well, you know, I have a friendly spirit at my house. Nope. Steal, kill, and destroy. Don't be deceived. Demons are very clear in their job description. So one third of the angels fell out of heaven with Lucifer. That's who are what we call demons. Now, demons, there are different types, if we've already described some of them. But the majority of them are what we call menial or imps or just devils. They have jobs. Every demon has a job. Jesus addressed them. So here are some of them. There are demons that cause sickness. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 says, there are demons that cause blindness. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed them. So the blind and the mute both spoke and saw. There are demons that cause deafness. What's very interesting when you hear when Brother Ted Shuttlesworth comes, senior, he prays for a lot of people who are deaf. Whenever he deals with deaf spirits or deaf people, he always commands the spirit of deafness to come out. Now, I don't know how many of you were here and all the different ones that came out. But I remember one specifically, and I believe it was Charles Endifon who was here when that miracle happened. There was an individual here who had, I'll just talk about the one with Brother Ted. Brother Ted had an individual who, when they were young, had their ear poked and their eardrum was destroyed and their inner ear was destroyed. So as a child, they actually filled in the inner ear. They filled in the ear with other flesh. And this lady came up for a miracle and said, I need to hear. I'm deaf in this ear. I believe it was the right ear. She had long hair. This is on video, by the way. And Brother Ted put his finger where their ear was, and there was no ear. The ear was gone, and there was no ear canal. That had been stuffed with flesh. So he stuck his finger where the flesh was supposed to be, and he commanded the spirit of deafness to come out. And as he did that, his finger started to go into the ear. He was freaking out himself, he said. When he pulled his finger out, gauze came out. And he started pulling the gauze out of her ear. All of a sudden, she said, I can hear. And then she pulled her hair back, and God created an ear. Isn't God good? If God will do it for one, he'll do it for all. For God's no respecter of persons. So there are demons that cause deafness. There are demons that cause you to have no speech. That's called mute. I already read a verse, but there's another one in Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. I remember we had a mute boy in my last church, and the miracles and signs and wonders were just phenomenal up there in that church that we were ministering at. And I looked at the parents and said, I'd like you to bring your boy up. I want to lay hands on him. And they said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? They said, we know if we bring him up there, God will give him his voice back. And we'll lose our Social Security check. They never brought him up. There's also a spirit called infirmity. That is a demon that carries many different diseases. Cancer, whenever you really study the voice of healing ministers, the men and women who saw phenomenal miracles in the 1950s and 60s, and even in today's realm, dealing with Reinhard Bonnke, dealing with all these different great men of God, women, men and women of God, they always dealt with life that brought death as a demonic spirit. So cancer, they never dealt with in the essence of, well, we just want the cancer to come out. No, they always cursed the demonic spirit, commanded the demon of cancer to come out, spirit of infirmity, and then commanded the what was destroyed to be restored. So they always know, they deal that with cataract. They deal that with arthritis. There's a whole list of different things. I love watching it, and I'd encourage you to watch it, especially if you need a healing. I'd encourage you to get on YouTube instead of watching television, and I'd encourage you to watch A.A. Allen. I'd encourage you to watch Oral Roberts. I'd encourage you to watch these Voice of Healing, William Branham. I'd encourage you to watch them on YouTube. You can watch their services. You can watch the miracles and the signs and wonder. Your faith will rise. So there are many spirits. Now, this one was a spirit of arthritis, or what we call osteoporosis. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no wise raise herself up. So she walked like this. She was bent over. We would call it osteoporosis. And God healed her of osteoporosis, or He called it a spirit of infirmity. So we would say physically or physiologically, she was bent over because she had osteoporosis. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said there's a demon spirit causing a sickness on her body. I'm going to command that spirit, that demonic spirit of infirmity, off her body. And when he did, she stood straight up. So it wasn't a physical illness. It was a spiritual illness. I'll tell this story when we get into healing as well. I remember I had a word of knowledge in northern Maine when I was ministering at a church of somebody having back problems. I described exactly where the back problem was, exactly what the pain felt like. And I said, if that's you, then come forward. This man came forward. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command right now the back to be healed. And I spoke to the back. Remember, Jesus never prayed for a sick person. He spoke to the sickness. And so I spoke to the sickness, and I commanded the pain to come out of the back. And he says, it's no longer in my back. I said, do whatever you can do. He did. He says, but I feel the pain here now. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command the pain to be gone. He says, it moved. It's over here. I said, oh, I got it. It's a spirit. So I spoke to the spirit. I said, you spirit of infirmity, get out of his body now and don't ever come back. Boom. And I've been back 2 or 3 years after that. It was with my Uncle Eddie, and that person never had those pains again. He didn't have a physical illness. He had a spirit causing a disease and a sickness. So there are demons that cause sickness. That's their whole job. There are also demons that try to get people to commit suicide. I want you to know that suicide always has a demon spirit with it. Not sometimes, always. As through the years of ministry, I have found that usually the spirit of suicide will skip a generation, desensitize the next generation, and you'll find it will always go through a family. That spirit will jump from one person to the next person to the next person. Mark chapter 9, verse 22, and often he was thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if he can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That was a declaration. He said, my son, the spirit that's on him is throwing him in the fire and throwing him in the water, trying to kill him. Demons will always try to kill you. We had a woman in our church. Her name was Mary, and her son was up in Syracuse, and in the morning they found him hanging in his closet. He'd hung himself. Now, you know, I don't know if you have ever had to bury a young man that you grew up in the church with, but it was a very intense time. Not long after that, his sister was in the same room in Syracuse. She said she was woken up in the middle of the night by voices. Kill yourself like your brother. You can be with him. And the demon started speaking. She said, if I didn't know what that was, if I didn't know how to have authority over it, I'd have been hanging in the same closet my brother was. Suicide is always a demon spirit. When that thought of suicide ever crosses your mind, you know that a devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Well, it's very easy. You take authority over that spirit. You speak life to yourself. You declare the word of God. You bind that devil, and he's got to flee. But always know, every single time. Listen, how can I prove that? Human nature is survival. That's the very nature of humanity. We will do anything to survive. So when it's whispering in your ear to kill yourself, there's always a demon. So there are specific demons out there. Right now, man, we're seeing enormous amounts of suicide in the schools, in the colleges, in the high schools. Well, why is that? Because the devil can pick out potential. Knows that if he can kill them, it will go through. Right here in Horseheads, I believe they had a pact, a suicide pact years ago. It's demonic. Always a demon when it comes to suicide. We know, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 27, that some mental illness, not all mental illness, but some mental illness is caused by a demonic spirit. And when he stepped out of the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but he lived in the tombs. I remember one time I got a phone call, and the phone call was, one of the ladies in the church was taken to the BSU unit, and she's acting crazy. So I went to the BSU unit, and when I went in there, she was acting crazy. And I looked at the doctor, and I said, I'm her pastor. Can I have a few minutes? Because I want you to know that if the doctor ain't born again, you don't play around, because they're going to put you in too. I had the doctor leave, and you could see her eyeballs. She was acting absolutely crazy. I looked at her, and I says, now, devil, you and I in the room together, we know what's going on. I command you in the name of Jesus to get out. Immediately, she thrashed about, and boom, she was free. The doctor came in, she spoke normal, she acted normal, everything was normal. Why? Because there are spirits that will cause mental illness. I'm going to be preaching not too long from now. We're going to do a whole month on next level healing. Not just healing in your body, but healing in your mind. I was shocked to see how many people struggle with depression. Hear me, depression is never from God. Never. God will never produce it. God has created the joy of the Lord, not depression. And so we're going to get people healed of depression. Amen. There are spirits that play with those things. They play with the mind. Demons work in different areas of people's lives. They deal with them with addictions, sexual sins. Do want to address that. It used to be just a man's sin. Now it's very much a woman's sin as well. It used to be just men would play around with pornography. Now women are playing around with pornography in an amazing way. Porn is never from God. Fifty years ago, if you wanted to watch porn or get porn, you would have to go to a store and either rent something or you would have to get a magazine while everybody stared at you. I'll take the one with the wrapper. Or you'd have to go into the VHS section of XXX behind the curtain. Everybody knew what you were there for. You'd have to deal with a level of embarrassment. There was a porn shop out near Rod Parsley many years ago. Rod Parsley had a desire to get all the porn shops closed in his city. He had a television program. So what he did was, the porn shop is private property, but the sidewalk is not. He had really good cameras. So he set up the TVs, set up the cameras, and when people would walk out of the porn shops or walk in, he'd focus in on them. They were screaming, and he said one guy literally jumped in the bushes trying to hide. They actually got taken to court. 5,000 people showed up at court. There was, of course, not enough room in the room. They were all spilled out on the thing. And, you know, they had to throw it out because it was private property. But porn is an amazing thing these days. And you need to recognize that there's always a demon spirit that goes with pornography. There's a spirit that goes with that. And that is why we're seeing more child crimes than ever before. Because porn never will stay at soft porn level. It has a physical reaction, and it also has a demonic spirit reaction. So if you're playing with porn, you need to know you're playing with demons. And I want you to realize, when you submit your spirit to a demon, that you're actually inviting those demons in your home. Now, I don't know about you, I don't like demons in my house. Especially when they only have one purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. It'd be like asking somebody you know who's a thief to come and hang out for supper. Oh, and by the way, take anything you want. You know that's not going to happen. But we do that with the demons. That's why you got to watch what you watch on television. Grey's Anatomy. Oh, but those who know what it is, know what it is. Listen now. If you're watching shows, I always said it, this is the best way to describe whether you're letting a devil in your house or not. Number one, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. But number two, if you don't want your daughter to become it, you shouldn't be watching it. I'll say it one more time. If you don't want your daughter to watch it, you shouldn't be watching it. Excuse me. If you don't want your daughter to become it, you shouldn't be watching it. Cults, demons work with cults and occult practices, false teachings, witchcraft, doctrines of demons. There are people that are, listen, there are cults out there. You've got Jehovah's Witness. You've got Mormonism. You've got, we can go through the list of cults. There's a great class in Bible school you can take, the cults class. We'll break down each one of them. They all have an essence of truth. For a doctrine of demons will never come out with all falsity, but just enough truth to bring you in. That's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Whenever you see division within the church, gossip within the church, it is always a demon spirit at work. Every church split has a demon working behind the scenes. Every time you start gossiping, come on now, what is gossip? The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. What do you think gossip is? The devil has more people working for him than God does. You sit there, you start gossiping about somebody, what are you doing? You're working for your father. Gossip will send you to hell. The Bible says adulterers. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, adulterers, they don't go to heaven. But right in that same package is gossipers, backbiters. It's in the same package. We try to categorize sin. Really, let me categorize it for you. Pride and rebellion. If you got to gossip about somebody, it simply means that you think they're better than they are. I don't know. Last I knew, we all need the same blood. Y'all, wipe yourself. Amen. Y'all gonna go to hell without Jesus. Amen. Nobody's better than anybody else. God loves every one of us the same. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So whenever there is division, it is always a demonic spirit. From the very beginning, this is the number one plot of Lucifer is to bring division amongst people and amongst the body. Somebody walks up to you and says, well, you know, I can't believe you're going to that church. Shut up! Why shut up? Because they're playing with your destiny. I don't play with division. Why don't I play with division? Because it messes with your destiny. Your destiny is directly connected with the church you go to. How do I know that? Because if you go to a church that's not preaching about healing, teaching about healing, declaring God's word about healing, and you get sick, you could die before your time. You go to a church that doesn't give altar calls, let me tell you something. Most churches don't give altar calls anymore. One guy said, I asked the pastor why he hadn't given an altar call in 3 months. And the pastor said, because we know everybody here is saved. Something wrong there. There should never be a service without an altar call. Can I hear an amen? The devil loves to destroy the church. He knows that every time there's a great power revealed, the people were of one heart and one mind. So the enemy always is striving to cause division. What is division? You ready? I love this. I play a little word. Division. D-I-V-I-S-I-O-N. So here, let's look at it the way it really is. Whenever you have division, you have D-I-E-V-I-S-I-O-N. division. Unless two walk together in agreement, they can't walk. The enemy is constantly trying to get you offended at church. I promise to offend you. It just takes time. I promise to make you mad. If I don't, I've done something wrong. I promise that you're gonna pray me dead someday. Jesus, let him die. Listen, I'm just telling you, I'm going to offend you. Somebody's going to... The pastor didn't shake my hand on Sunday morning. I was in the back seat of that car that is so tinted black, no one could see me anyways, but he should have waved, led by the Spirit. The devil constantly is trying to bring division in your life against the house of God. Because if he can cause division, then the vision that God has for you will die. Now, there is a time to leave this church. I'm going to tell you. When people stop being saved, when people stop being healed, when people stop being delivered, when the word stops being taught, when the power of God stops showing up, you are an absolute fool to stay in this church. I'll be the first one to go. But if God is moving, don't let no devil try to con you out of the call of God on your life. Don't ever let division come in your heart and mind. Bible says if somebody offends you, what are you supposed to do? Well, they better make sure they make it right. Nope. I think the Bible says if you go to the altar and you know your brother has an offense against you, leave your gift at the altar and go make it right with them. Oh. You mean they're not to come to you? No. You're to go to them. Division. It's evil. And if you're gossiping, it will cause division. And you're working for the devil. Bite your tongue. The Bible says, where there are many words, there's always sin. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So the devil doesn't want unity. So he's working hard always to destroy a church. There are people that have left this church that I looked at them and I said, what are you doing? They left this church and they didn't serve God another day. Recently, not too long ago, we actually had two families left this church. I said, what are you doing? Well, we don't believe in the corporate church anymore. We believe that you should be home churched. I said, that's asinine. I said, that's a doctrine of demons. No. You see that steeple? That's an erection, a penis. It represents the fertility god. Doctrines of demons. Two families plucked out of the house of God with their kids. All for a doctrine of a demon. The devil's going to work hard to, he's going to work hard to dismantle you from the house of heaven so that your destiny does not get fulfilled. Because whether you like it or not, the church you go to plays a massive role in where you're going to go with Christ. Don't you ever let division come in. There are people you got to kick out of your life sometimes. All they do is sit there and gossip and moan and groan. Listen, I used to get my hair cut for free. I'm almost done. I used to get my hair cut for free. Man cut my hair anytime I wanted. He cut a lot of people's hair. Like, I'm talking like professional baseball players. I mean, he was well-known in this city. Cut hair for over 45 years in this city. Cut my hair for free. But every time I sat in his chair, I started hearing about every church, every pastor, every problem. Did you hear about so-and-so? I left that chair with a good haircut dirty. I felt so nasty dirty when I got up out of that chair. And I finally came to a conclusion. It's not worth a free haircut. Some of you got people in your life. It's not worth their friendship. But they're a believer.
they're gossiping that much, they might not be. Just because you got the title don't mean you got the life. Thank you.
So make sure no division comes in your life. Amen? Okay. Next week we'll cover the occult, break down the occult, the different occult movements that are happening today, that are big today, the ones that people are being suckered into today. We'll cover them as well as, because we'll have extra time, I'll probably cover some of the cults themselves. I'll cover a little bit of I'll cover the main ones that are in our area, what their belief systems are, what they'll do, how they think, how they act, what their doctrine is that's anti-scripture. Amen? Yeah, it's really interesting. And I'll also show you different signs. I'll have them put it up online, to the different pentagrams and different other occult insignia that maybe you don't even know. Maybe you have them around your house. Remember, don't give the devil a foothold. Some of you have movements happening in your home because you've opened the door to a demonic spirit, maybe even through your television. That's right, man. If you're watching some of those TV shows that are all about occultism, Satanism, all you're doing is opening the door. That's all they're waiting for. And they're coming. Harry Potter, he's coming. You know, he'll come in your house. Those demons that are playing with Harry, they're going to come on and visit you. Let me tell you, the first time you actually grab a hold of that tail and they actually reveal themselves, first time a demon actually reveals himself to you, you're going to crap your drawers. You're going to call out to Jesus for sure. But man, if you're letting them in your own house, dear Lord, what are you doing? I don't let the thief come in my home. I'm not giving him a key to steal, kill, and destroy my house. I'm not when my kids were home, I didn't allow them to come in my home. I don't want them playing with my children while they're sleeping. You got to be careful. It's real stuff because the devil ain't playing tennis. Questions? Yes. We have two questions. Do we have a runner? Ben! Do we have a runner? Run, Ben, run! And no, we're going to have questions. We're going to grab another mic. Why don't they call it grab another Bob or something? If you have questions online, this is when you want to write them. You can send them to Messenger through Messenger right to me, and I'll answer them for you. Here we go. You're going to run, Ben!
Hello? Is it on?
Not yet. Hold on, it's coming. He's got to go back and turn it up. We have two questions. Four questions. Good. Go. We got it.
All right. Am I on yet?
No. Red. Good. You got to talk into it.
Hello?
One. Say one.
One.
Two. Buckle my shoe.
Hello.
Ben. Is there a button for power? Power!
Hello? Hello?
Nope. Is it on? Okay, go ahead. Just talking that.
When binding spirits, demons, where do they go?
When you're binding a demon or a spirit, that's a great question. Where do they go? You cannot send them to hell. You don't have the authority to send them to hell because Adam and Eve gave them the right to be here. Demons have a lease. How do we know that? Well, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, they gave their lease for the world, for the demons, the prince and the power of the air. We know that because Satan, when he brought Jesus up onto the high point, the pinnacle, he said, look, Jesus, all of this has been given to me. I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship. So when you cast the devil out, you cast him out. But the point is that the Bible says that if you cast a demon out and that person does not get saved,
then those boys come back with seven more. So I don't just cast demons out of people. I want to know they want to be free. Because if you cast devils out of them, but they don't clean up the house, they don't get Jesus in there, they're going to be worse off than when you began. Number two.
All right. Hello?
Yep. We got you. Wow. So, no, you got to get up close. It helps everybody.
When you're saved and you pray the armor of God over you every day, how does that sickness get in?
Sickness will come because we live in a fallen world. That's the great part about being a believer. Sickness can come, but it can't stay. Now, most sickness we can thwart. We can thwart, like if you start snotting. Lord, in Jesus' name, now what I pray over my family is that every bacteria, every virus, I'm even speaking it over the kids. I got mad the other day because one of them were teething and their nose was running. And first of all, I didn't want to clean their nose. Second of all, I don't want that to be part of their life. But that's part of the fall. But Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the fall, from the curse. And so therefore, I declare the blessing of God. So when sickness comes, it's not that it won't come, but you have the authority over it when it arrives.
Sickness.
Not all sickness are demons. Some of them are, and that's where discerning of spirits comes. But certain sicknesses are definitely. If it's a cancer, it's a demon spirit.
So how does that get in if you're a believer?
A demon cannot possess you, but can afflict you. So it can, what's called, oppress you. So a demon can climb on, it can't come in you, but can climb on and cause.
So if you see someone has that sickness, like bent over, you're at work,
yeah.
You can't obviously pray out loud to them. So can you pray in your head and then like?
No, because demons can't read your mind. Oh, okay. You can't pray off a demon. You cast off a demon.
So
you have to say it.
Okay.
Jesus help us all.
And then so when God made the world was good and everything was good in it.
Correct.
So where did evil come from?
Evil come from Lucifer when he was cast down. If Adam and Eve chose not to listen to Lucifer that day in Genesis chapter 3, then the fall would not have had to occur. But God had to give man free will choice. Because if he didn't, then we would be just like the angels.
So that free will is the evil.
Yes, we have the most precious, horrible gift. That is, we have the ability to accept or reject God, obey or disobey God. We have the ability to sin or not to sin. Now, every one of you who are born again, you don't ever have to sin another day. Romans chapter 6 says we're no longer slaves to sin. But every time we sin, we make a willful choice. Yes. You got to talk into the microphone. I know you don't want to do that, but you have to.
So if there's a person that is sick with a sickness demon or sick and they aren't saved, can it be cast out of
him? Absolutely. Jesus healed a man and said, go and sin no more, lest a greater thing come upon you. So if a person's not born again and they get healed and they choose not to get right with God, then a greater disease or sickness can come on them. God will heal. God will do a miracle with a sinner. But the sinner has to turn around and repent, or a greater thing can come on. Those are all verses I just quoted to you. Anybody else? Yes. Mr. Microphone.
I was listening to a tape the other day of an evangelist, and he was right on with the word and everything. He had said in that he knew of a believer who was praying against a principality over a certain region, and he mocked that believer for doing that. He said that was the stupidest, dumbest thing that believer could do.
Scripturally, you don't see that at all. He gives us authority over all powers, principalities. There's no demon spirit that is too strong. But we did have a bunch of foolish preachers at one point in time who wrote some really good books and sold, where they used to get up in airplanes and try to cast out the spirits of their region. Okay. Devil, get out of my region! I had one preacher one time. I was at a pastor's meeting, and and he said, we've got to plot our city. We got to find the gates of hell in Elmira. He said, I have found them. He said, they're over on, I was Walnut Street.
They're over on Walnut Street. Where, remember Granny's Closet or something like that? Right near Granny's Closet, there's an open chasm into hell. And the demons are, that's their port they go in and out of. And I said, excuse me, where is that in the Bible? I only remember that Philip preached the good news of Jesus and the city rejoiced. I never saw him go around try to find the mouth of hell. But it writes good books, sells good books to Christians. You know, don't be deceived. The devil's whooped. Questions? Amen. Let's all stand. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, you got to have a microphone. Mr. Microphone!
Can I add something? I'm not proud to say it, but I used to deal with a demonic, and no matter how many times you cast a spirit off, as long as you continue to live in that sin, that demon will always get back onto you. So you can fight, and you can cast them off and cast them off, and I'm currently going through it now with a lot of the demons that's going on. And in fact, I'm kind of glad that I hear. I actually admitted myself into a psych center with a lot of problems. And no matter what I did, I casted the demon off and demon off. And I was realizing that my life choices, my style of life was what's causing it to come back. So yes, we may have the authority to cast those demons out, and God gave us and granted us as we were washed in the blood. But no matter how spiritual you get, as long as you walk in that, as long as you walk into that demonic world, they'll always attach yourself. Even though we got the blood or the armor on us, they will always hold us, and they will always try to drag us down. So to answer your question, I'm sorry, Pastor.
No, it's good, man.
To answer your question, I'm sorry, I'm shaking right now. We may have the armor, but armor is only as good as the word, and the word is good. And if we don't know the word, the devil can destroy that and destroy it and destroy it. So you can get sick, you can get cancer, you can die. And the devil uses death to pull other people to him. So I could be a Christian and I could walk the Lord or walk the faith, and you know, one little slip up, the devil can pull me away, and now my whole family can turn around because I died and I was a Christian. And now he used me in that death to pull my family. Not saying it's going to happen. Thank God that he saved me and I died and I was born again. But I just want to really push that. Please listen to him when it comes to the demonic and the spiritual, because this guy has really saved my life many, many times. So I just ask you to please take these notes.
Now, I know that some of you who have never played in the demonic realm or know anything about the demonic realm, you even hear him and you're going, whoa. No, honest, you were of what was your responsibility?
I did what they call paganism, and I studied a lot of earthly religions, and majority of it was demonic, whether it was Wiccan or into demonics. And My role was, I actually married people into the world or into the demonic world. Like, I actually would take couples and I would cast demons onto them. And in my eyes at that point in time, it was actually love spells, and we called it white magic. But all magic is evil. All magic is evil. So even though we called it white magic or love magic, and we basically bonded each other into the realm, so that way they had to live for that spirit.
So really, you know, it's amazing. We have another man on the other side who was very much in the demonic realm as well. And we have many other people that I know in the church that were very much delved into the occult and into the demonic world, in the spirit world. And what we're talking about is not crazy. It's very real. And the problem is that we have a lot of ignorant Christians. And they don't understand because they've never been taught. That's why we have this class. So, yes. Mr. Microphone. Oh, Mrs. Microphone. Miss Microphone. She is single.
I've still talked to Christians who just can't see anything wrong with Harry Potter, but I happened to see an interview with a lady that wrote it, and she calls herself a white witch.
Absolutely.
She says, I'm a witch, a white witch. She claims she's a good witch, but she does call herself a witch. So people that think that book's okay, you're letting your kids read something written by a witch.
Absolutely. It's very real. And so I just want you to realize, steal, kill, and destroy. Don't play with the devil. You already whooped him through Jesus. Don't give him a foothold. Amen? We've gone very late. It's 10:30 at night. And no, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Father of lies. I'm sorry. No, Jesus. No, Jesus. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you gave us all authority over the power of the devil. Jesus, we thank you that we don't need to be afraid of a demon. We don't need to be afraid of a demonic spirit or presence. But Lord, you've given us authority over all of them to cast them down, to cast them off, to cast them out. God, we have authority in your name. Thank you, Jesus. You did not leave us weak to be able to just make it by, but you gave us and created us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, I speak, Lord, blessing. And I declare understanding to your body that, Lord, when we see somebody that is in bondage, we can, through the name and blood of Jesus, we can set them free. And Lord, we just want to thank you for your goodness. Bless the offering, and we just say we love you. And everybody said amen. Thank you very much.